Happy Halloween!
Welcome to the fifth episode of our podcast,
Tales for the Midnight Society.
And more importantly, happy Halloween week.
Yes, we're super excited for Halloween.
And in the spirit of Halloween, I have a super spooky, ooky story for this week's episode to get everybody in the mood for Halloween.
I'm super excited for your episode. I kind of know what it is, but I won't tell people yet because we have to tell them an update because last week we gave them a very ominous intro.
I know. We were both like, there's so much going on in our lives and there's like, it's crazy. And everything has kind of come to a relaxing chill at this point. So
yes. So we want to give you a final update. Ashley has a vehicle.
I do.
It's official.
It's official. So I said goodbye to my Junker on October 16th.
I can't believe you know the day.
I do. The red Caliber is gone. And then I picked up my new 2020 Hyundai Accent. It has a hatchback. It's black. It has black tinted windows. It's just a really nice little car. I've been spending the last like week or so just enjoying not having a piece of shit and all the cool features because I got a really good deal. And because it was a showroom model, I got like the higher model of it. So I have all the nice features. So I've just been being like, oh, like I have all these things and it doesn't sound like it's wheezing when it drives. And this is a really good day for me. So, and all the stress that I kind of mentioned last week is kind of subsided. And I think there was just so much going on that I got overwhelmed. I mean, I'm like 3 months out for my wedding at this point. So
completely understandable.
There's always something to do, but at least, and then getting a new car in the middle of that was just a lot. But the car's gone in and we're kind of just trekking along with the wedding stuff and you're back from vacation. So I'm not watching your cats anymore. So it's not like 800 things on my to-do list. It's just kind of like back in the trekking along for the regular stuff.
Yeah, so back into the regular routine.
How was your vacation?
Oh, it was really good. I went to Dominican Republic. I don't think I mentioned that. Maybe. I can't remember.
I don't remember.
But we went to La Romana, which is about an hour from Punta Cana. The beach. The beach was really nice. Literally all I did was like sleep, eat, and lay on the beach. I'm like still decently tan, but I am back in the groove now. I've been back for like a week. So I had a good time with my mom, my sister, and my aunt, and we had a girls' trip.
Did you guys do any like excursions or anything?
Yeah, we did one excursion where we went snorkeling and I saw starfish and they were so cute. There was one that was like, I don't know, probably about a foot big. And then I had a little baby one on top of it. And it was just sitting there like I'm a starfish on top of my mommy starfish. And it was so cute.
Do they have mother-child relationships in Starfish Land?
I don't actually know.
Oh, okay.
But it looked like mother-daughter. A
mother-daughter.
Yes.
It was cute. Yeah.
It looked like a little toddler starfish and a mommy starfish. And then we went to an island called Catalina Island, which is off of the coast of Dominican. And that was really nice. The water was beautiful. But I'm glad to be back. I'm cuddling my cats and recording the podcast. And last week, I did say that I thought my apartment was haunted. I have now confirmed since I've been back on vacation that is not the case. I haven't heard anything spooky.
Since your time away?
Since my time away, nothing spooky-ooky has happened. But before I went away, I was getting some weird feelings. But I don't know if it was just because
you were creeped out, probably.
Yeah.
Hopefully my story today doesn't set you back.
Oh, God.
Before you were gone and bring the spookies back. But
I'm going to send you a text probably tonight and be like, I hear noises again. Please. I don't know why I have an accent now. I hear noises. Please help me.
Southern drawl randomly comes with fear.
I hear the noises. Anyway, I don't think there's an actual ghost in my apartment, although I still want to tell the story of the ghost I did have in my apartment, but I'm going to have to save that for a later date. We don't have time now. Ashley's story is going to be really long, I think.
I mean, I don't think so. Like, I have, just checking my notes here.
She's flipping pages, if you can't hear that. Flip, flip.
I have 8 pages, but I write pretty like chunky. So
she's got the chunky font.
I've got the chunky font. So I think it'll be okay. I do want to just tell the viewers quick, listeners, you're not viewers, you're not watching. Listeners quick, that I spent a week while Dimitri was away feeding her cats. And when I got here today, even though I got to her house at 2 p.m, which is like by no means their feeding time, they thought that food was coming because apparently now her cats associate me with food.
They literally like all walked up to her. I have 3 cats, by the way. I said that in episode 1. If you haven't listened to episode 1, go listen to that. Why are you here also? Like start at the beginning. Jeez. Anyway, They literally all swarmed to her, the three of them, and then started meowing like she was going to feed them. But I was like, you don't get fed to at least 5:30.
And like walking between me and where the food is and then me and where the food is and being like, hello. Like,
yeah.
You bring food. You come with food. Where's my food? And I'm like, no, that's not why I'm here.
Yeah. So Auntie Ashley is now the food delivery service to my house. I mean, she didn't actually feed them and I am waiting till 5 o'clock, but
I mean, you fed me when I got here. So
there's feeding going on.
There's feeding.
But the cats were not involved.
No. All right. Well, do you want to dig into it?
Yeah.
Pun from last week.
Yeah. If you haven't listened to episode 4,
go back again. This week, I am talking about the Banff Springs Hotel. It's actually now called the Fairmont Banff Springs Hotel because Fairmont now owns it.
Okay, that makes sense.
But I'm not like trying to dig at Fairmont or like not give them credit here, but I'm not going to call it the Fairmont Banff Springs Hotel for the rest of this because that's a mouthful.
That is extremely wordy.
Yeah. So I'll either call it just Banff Springs, which is likely what I'm going to call it.
Yes.
Or I might say Banff Springs Hotel. But I'm definitely not.
Sorry, Fairmont.
Sorry, Fairmont. I'm discrediting you. So fun fact before I like fully get into it, and this has never, ever been confirmed, but in my research on like basically any website that I pulled research off of, there's hintings or rumors that one of the incidents that are said to have happened here inspired The Shining.
Ooh.
So like the location, nothing else has to do with The Shining, but like one of the instances that are said to have happened here is rumored to be the inspiration for The Shining. There's never been a confirmation, never been connection, but I thought that was a cool little like tidbit. And because of that little tidbit, people sometimes think that the movie was filmed here, but it wasn't. Like this rumor is just created like a spiral.
Yeah.
But I thought it was cool.
Quick question before you continue.
Yeah.
They think it inspired the book or the movie?
The book, like the original story. Like okay. They think that it inspired the story of The Shining.
Interesting. Because I know that Stanley Kubrick, who directed The Shining movie, took a really weird spin on the book.
Yeah.
So I didn't know if he had pulled inspiration from this hotel based on the movie.
Well, so one of them, some of the websites mentioned that Stanley pulled his inspiration from this story. Some of them said that the original story was pulled from this story. Some of them said that it like was filmed here. And then I was like, nope, you're wrong. I'm just gonna not even use this source anymore because it's not reliable. But yeah, like it's just, there's so many different rumors spiraling around The Shining and this story, not even this story, just like one of the things that happened here. It's just, it's strange.
Okay, get into it. I want to hear about this incident.
Okay. So the Banff Springs Hotel was built in 1888 in Banff, Alberta, which is in Canada.
Yep.
It was built along the Canadian Pacific Railway, which made it very popular for the tourists.
Yeah, makes sense. My understanding, when things were close to the train station, people are just like, oh, this is convenient. I'm going to go there.
Yeah, yeah. It was often called the Castle of the Rockies because of the picturesque views of the Rocky Mountains. And also the structure was very castle-like.
I like that.
Yeah. For its 128 years of being open, it has been host to many famous guests, including Queen Elizabeth II, Helen Keller, and Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Another just like random fun fact, the hotel was built backwards originally. So they built this amazing, beautiful hotel so that the guests could have the views of the Rockies. But all the design on the inside had the staff quarters and kitchens facing the Rockies. And the guest rooms were facing like the railway.
Oh my God.
And then they had to flip it around. Like they flipped it around before they ever opened. But yes. Like I just, this hotel was built for the sole reason of having the view of the Rockies. And then they fucked it up inside.
Oh God. The builder was like, but the servant should get a nice view too.
It wasn't even the builder, right? Like, cause it was built and then it was just empty. And then they designed the inside for guests. And it was like the person who did up the blueprint for the inside shit the bed. So the people in the kitchen would have had a very nice view while they were preparing food.
Yes, but the guests would have been like, wow, why am I looking at the parking lot?
Yeah, literally. So it was fixed before it ever opened. I just thought that was a funny fact.
That is funny.
On April 7th, 1926, the original hotel structure burned down.
Oh, God.
It was scheduled to be torn down that winter anyway because the hotel at this time closed during the winter due to the land being not easy to navigate and people couldn't get in and out safely. So they closed down during the winter and then they were going to tear it down. But in April, it burned down on its own.
Good timing, I guess.
Yeah. The hotel reopened in 1928. By 1968, the hotel was open year-round instead of remaining closed during the winter. So that's just like facts about the hotel for everybody, just to get a feel of the castle.
That makes sense. I guess like in The Shining too, the whole premise is that it closes down for the winter and they need a caretaker of the property. So I can see where that
was pilled. That was one of the...
Pilled? I just said pilled. That was pulled. If I could speak English or Canadian would be nice.
Yeah. So, and that was one of the things, right? They said like the premise of this hotel inspired it. And that's one of the things that kind of makes it sound like, yeah, that could be legit.
Yeah.
So now we'll get into the actual ghosts. By the way, I don't think I said this, but this is a paranormal story. I was just giving you hotel history, but it is paranormal. So there's six stories that are the most well-known and reported by guests.
Okay.
There's other stories that have been one-offs, but these six are the most reported, most substantiated. They have evidence to back it up. Paranormal investigators have gone and backed it up. Like there's some pictures from some paranormal investigators who think that they see two of these encounters in the pictures. I'm not going to spoil it, but two of the things I'm going to say have been photographed.
Oh.
And staff have substantiated it. Like, although the hotel doesn't widely advertise being haunted, they even have now accepted that, hey, like, this is legit.
It gives them business, right?
Yeah.
Like, people want to stay in haunted, quote-unquote, rooms.
Yeah, well, they specifically, by the looks of it now, milk this first one. Like, this first one is probably the one that they
are like, yes, we have ghosts. Winky face.
Yeah. So the first story I'm going to tell you is a story of a bride on her wedding day. So she's newlywed. The young woman wanted to make a grand entrance. So she's been married now. The ceremony's ended. Her guests are waiting for her in the ballroom. And this hotel is designed, it has a beautiful winding grand staircase. So she's placed candles on every stair, like to make the staircase absolutely beautiful for her wedding. And the ballroom is up the stairs. So she wants to come up the stairs to her guests in the ballroom.
Oh, so the ballroom's on the second floor.
Yes.
Or like not on the main floor.
I'm assuming so because in a lot of the pictures, there's more than one ballroom, but all of the stories say she ascended the stairs, not descended. So I'm assuming yes.
That's cool.
So she wants to walk up in her wedding dress, this beautifully lit staircase to her guests. As she's walking up the stairs, wind catches her dress. Her dress blows. A candle flame catches a corner of her dress, and she becomes startled. Trying to put out the flame, she loses her footing and falls down the stairs.
Oh, my God.
Breaking her neck and subsequently dying.
Oh, my God. Her poor husband is probably like, my wife's coming up the stairs. I'm so excited. And then he's like, oh, my God. She's dead at the bottom of the stairs.
Yeah. So
Jesus.
That is the first big death that was reported there. A year later, in the middle of the night, workers reported hearing mysterious music and an eerie image in the dining room of what looked like a bride dancing alone.
Oh, that's so sad.
Right? And that's the first report that ever happened. It didn't even happen for a year.
Yeah.
Guests since have reported seeing a bride standing or walking on the staircase. They've reported seeing her dancing alone in a ballroom now titled the Cascade Ballroom.
Oh my God, that's so sad.
There have also been reports from many guests who've stayed in the bridal suite that they had booked that night for their honeymoon of hearing weird unexplained noises, even when the room is unoccupied.
Oh.
So like it'll be guests staying in rooms next door or staff coming to clean or guests staying in that room, but will be outside the room, will hear sounds from inside the room.
Ugh.
People inside the room staying there will also report cold spots.
Yep.
Very typical. Yeah. And cold spots have also been reported on the stairs, like badly on the stairs. A lot of speculation says that like it literally gets colder as you approach the spot where she lost her footing. And then the cold spot will immediately dissipate. So some debunkers have tried to say that it's a draft, but debunkers of the debunkers will say, how is a draft hitting this exact area only?
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. Like you would have a draft all the way down the stairs, assuming. Like,
yeah. So she unfortunately fell to her death. And she doesn't do anything scary. Not really. She just appears and is alone. And
yeah, it seems like she's kind of just reliving as a ghost what happened to her during her death.
And
like,
her wedding day.
Yeah. Based on my research that I've just done and like other podcasts I've listened to, a lot of people make the argument whether ghosts are kind of just there reliving their own memories or whether they know that we are also in this world.
Yeah.
So it seems like in this case, she is the type of ghost that people argue are just, she's just making moves in her own life.
And doesn't know other people are there.
Yes.
Exactly. And the hotel itself, they admit that. Like, they do ghost bride tours and stuff. That's their ghost.
Yeah. So they confirm that she is
real. Yeah. So the second story of the many is of Samuel McCulley, known as Sam the Bellman. Sam loved the hotel, and though he retired several times during his stay there, he always returned to work. Even if it was just part-time, he was like, no, guys, like, I just want to be here. I'm bored at home. I need to come back. And he worked there for 40 years. Like, he loved his job.
Yes.
He immigrated from Scotland at a young age, and the hotel kind of took him in and gave him a place in Canada. So he felt like he owed everything to the hotel.
Yeah.
And even though he didn't have to work anymore, he had really good retirement savings. He just kept coming back.
Yep.
He worked there until the day that he passed away, and he passed away naturally, like, of old age.
Yeah.
All of his coworkers, even, like, at his funeral, made jokes about how Sam would always say that he would return to the hotel as a ghost because he was just meant to be there.
Yeah. When you spend so long at a place,
yeah,
there has to be something that's
And he didn't die in the hotel. Like I said, he died at home of natural causes. But he always joked with them, like, when I die, I'll be back. Don't you worry.
Well, seems like his home was the hotel.
Yeah. So in 1975, Sam passed away, just natural causes. Shortly after his death, the reports began to come in. David Moberg, which is one of his fellow bellmen and the one that always used to joke with Sam about how he'd be back, said that he would receive reports from guests of seeing a bellman exactly matching Sam's description, although he never knew how guests would know what Sam looked like.
Yeah.
Like, it would be first-time visitors of the hotel saying, like, oh, that bellman over there helped me. And then he'd be like, can you describe him to me so that we can give him compensation for helping you? And it would be Sam.
Wow.
And there'd be no other bellman working at the time that looked like Sam, and it would be Sam's description.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So guests would hear a man's laughter in the halls, want to go check out who was laughing, and again, see Sam's apparition. Mm-hmm. Perfect description of Sam, even though, again, nobody knew what he looked like unless they were returning guests.
But if he's laughing, he seems like he's having a good time.
Yeah, like he's just living up his afterlife in the place of his dreams. Elevators would stop on random floors, even though no one pushed the button for that floor. When the elevator would open, again, people would see the apparition of Sam in the hallway.
So he's just moving. He's moving about. He's like, I spent 40 years here. This is where I want to be.
One of the main jobs as a bellman, right, is you're working the hotel for guests. Like, you're pushing the hotel button, bringing their luggage up. So, like, he's just doing his job in the afterlife.
It sucks because they can't put him on payroll.
And so guests who would find themselves locked out of their room would call for a staff member and then be waiting. And they would report hearing the door unlocking from the other side.
Oh, my God.
And then their door would be unlocked and they would get in and they would cancel the staff member. People often think that was Sam because he would be the one to answer those calls regularly.
That's so cute.
He's like, here, let me help you.
The most helpful ghost ever.
The most reports of the elevator opening and sightings of Sam would appear on the 9th floor, which he was typically positioned at during his time of work. That's Sam.
I love him. I love him.
He's a heartwarmer.
Yeah, he's a cute ghost. Like, he is. Whenever I think of ghosts, I typically think, I'm sure other people do, of like scary ghosts.
And none of the ones at this hotel are really like terrifying yet. But
Sam's like, if I had a ghost around, I would want Sam to be there because I'd be like, you are the most like,
take care of me.
Yeah, he's so well-mannered.
He's like that friendly grandpa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He shows up to work unpaid just to help people out. He's so cute.
He is cute. So another ghost to frequently manifest itself in the hotel and that has been reported by hundreds of guests is that of a bartender. Now, the weird part about this is no one knows how he died. No one knows if he died in the hotel. Nobody knows where his origin story comes from, unlike the bride and Sam where you know. Mm-hmm. But hundreds of guests have reported seeing him, so obviously there's something here.
Yeah.
So he frequently appears to guests when they are drinking alone. If he feels like they've had too much to drink, or they're going to have too much to drink, or they're drinking for the wrong reasons, he will appear to the guest and urge them to slow down drinking and head to bed before completely disappearing.
Wow. That reminds me of The Shining as well, because there's a scene in The Shining where Jack Nicholson goes to have a drink, and there's a bartender there. I mean, my understanding, I haven't seen the movie in a long time. But same thing where you walk up to the bar, Jack Nicholson is drinking alone, and then this bartender disappears and is like talking to him.
And that's what I mean. There's so many things that coincide with The Shining for this. And that's why they think that like the ghost stories here are what inspired at least the movie. Anyways, they call him the friendly bartender. It's always the same story from different guests. And it's not like they're widely sharing this.
Yeah.
And it's not, a lot of people are trying to say like, oh, you just had too much to drink, like you're imagining it. But that many people imagining the same thing is just strange.
Yeah.
And the bartender always kind of looks the same in the story when they're describing him.
Mm-hmm.
The weird part is he literally disappears. Like he gives them the advice and then like poof.
Wow.
And but before that looks like a person.
Yeah.
Like literally looks, it doesn't even look like an apparition, they said. It doesn't even look like a ghost. It's not what you'd imagine a ghost to look like. It looks like a dude sitting beside you, counseling you on your alcohol.
Yeah. Is it always people that are drinking too much?
All the people who've reported this have admitted that they were either already drinking too much, were going to drink too much, were drinking for the wrong reasons,
mm-hmm.
or have a dangerous drinking habit. Like, he never appeared to somebody who was just casually drinking. Like, it was always to help. It was always when there was a chance that this was going to go badly for them. And he always urged them to go to bed.
Yeah. It's interesting that he even appears when people just have plans to drink too much.
Like, he knows.
Yeah, because they haven't physically done that yet.
Yeah. Yeah. So the last frequently reported physical ghost is one of a headless bagpiper. I have nothing on this. Oh, honestly, God. I have no information. I don't know where he comes from. I don't know why. I just know that there's like 300 or more reports of a headless bagpiper seen outside on the grounds.
But you don't know where he came from.
Where he came from. I know nothing. The reports are everywhere. I was able to find them on several websites, but nothing else. Literally just headless bagpiper on the grounds.
Okay. Listen to me here. What if Sam and this bartender, when they leave for the evening, they go to like heaven or whatever, some kind of afterlife place. And there was this headless bagpiper that was like, I'm not doing anything during the day. Where do you guys go? And they were like, come with us to this hotel.
So he just hangs around outside waiting for them.
Yeah. And he's like, I'll just like hang out for a bit. Seems cool. You guys are working and not getting paid for it, but I guess it's a good thing. You seem to enjoy it.
Well, he doesn't do anything wrong either. Like, he's just seen wandering the grounds.
Oh,
like,
God.
Yeah, and it's reported a lot, which is the weirdest thing about it. And it's always just, like, outside. Like, people see him from, like, their windows.
Yeah, and they're like, there's just a bagpiper. That's so funny.
With no head. Just wandering.
Those three are best friends, I guarantee.
Those three ghosts are friends. So the next two are of entire rooms. So the hotel has a hard time booking a specific room. It's room 692.
Okay.
They have a hard time booking this room because guests will frequently report cold spots or the entire room being freezing, regardless of how much they turn up the heat. Guests have also reported being shaken off of their pillow when staying in the room alone.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I tried to like find further explanation. And like, I found one lady who talks about room 692 specifically.
Yes.
And it's literally like, felt like someone was reaching under her pillow and like pushing up as in to like take her head off of the pillow.
That's crazy.
But she was by herself. It has gotten so bad that the hotel will not book a room or this room to a woman traveling alone.
Because they had so many bad instances?
Yeah. Because it has seemed to specifically happen to women traveling alone who've stayed in this room. But they always report like the temperature changes. They always report being shaken off their pillow. Like, it's always a really similar story. So they'll book it to families and nothing will happen.
Yeah.
They'll even book it to men staying alone again. Nothing will happen. It's always women staying by themselves in this room.
So this ghost is targeting, I guess you could say.
Yeah. And they women. Don't advertise this. Like, there was tons of stuff written about how like this, the hotel pretends this isn't like a thing. Staff members have come forward and be like, yeah, we don't book this to women.
Yeah. Well, because it's almost bad press. Like, you could say that a room is haunted and people might want to stay there. But if it's disturbing the actual guests that are not there for the haunting.
Yeah.
Then they're probably like, yeah, we
and like targeting women.
Yes. So they're like, we probably shouldn't advertise this specifically.
Yeah. Okay. So I have one more story to tell. That's like, this is the last of the six.
Wait. So we don't even know who the person is in room 692?
Oh, no, that's it. Oh, that's God. It for 692. Like, there's no ghosts. There's nothing affiliated with it. Like, these things just happen in room 692 of this hotel.
I wonder if it's haunted pillows. Not a ghost.
Haunted pillows.
Just a haunted pillow.
Some people believe that because of the nature of the hotel and, like, because there is deaths that have happened there, that it's just, like, a hot spot for paranormal activity. Like, because there is some more deaths that do happen here. There's a bigger crime that happens here that I'm going to get into. It's the Shining inspiration crime I mentioned. So I think people believe that the hotel is haunted, like by other ghosts other than the ones I'm mentioning.
Yeah.
But there's just no confirmation because the hotel's just become a hotspot. Like it's become just a magnet
for paranormal activity.
Yeah. Okay. So the last story before I get into some random personal encounters I found is probably the most famous story of the hotel besides the bride. But this one might be a little bit more talked about because people are really into investigating this one.
Yes.
It's the story of room 873. So room 873 is also called the room that doesn't exist.
Okay. Interesting.
If you go to the hotel today, you will see a sealed wall where the room should be. When room 873 was still a room, it is rumored that a man murdered his wife and young daughter in the room before committing suicide.
Oh, gosh.
Does it sound familiar?
Just a little bit.
Yeah. So that's that story of the murder-suicide is the thing that is said to have been most assimilated with The Shining.
Yeah. Was it a guess, though? Because Jack Nicholson's character wasn't like a guest necessarily.
It was a guest.
Yeah. So I guess they could have changed it obviously for the movie or the book or whatever the case may be. But
I mean, it's all rumor too. It's just speculation. But
yeah.
So he murdered his wife and young daughter and then committed suicide in the room himself. So guess who stayed in the room following this before it was sealed, obviously?
Yes.
I'm going to say sealed for now, but that's even speculated. So I'll touch on that. So the guests who stayed in the room following this horrible tragedy reported handprints of a child on the bathroom mirror that would reappear no matter how many times they were cleaned off.
Oh, God.
So guests just reported handprints, like physical prints of the hand, and they would wash them off or wipe them off and they would return.
Like in steam?
Like, like an actual like handprint. Okay,
so they would see like the print of a hand on the mirror.
Yeah. Where maids, one maid, who has been discredited since, but there is one maid.
Yes.
She reported seeing bloodied handprints on the mirror one day when cleaning.
That's rough.
Then other guests had reported
just regular handprints.
Yeah. So I did want to include that because, I mean, she did say it and I'm not about discrediting her. So. Yeah.
I mean, it's maybe the child felt comfortable reaching out to her.
Like, just her, exactly.
And that's the only way the child felt that they could reach out to her was by doing bloody handprints. I'm not sure, but.
Yeah. Guests have also reported hearing screams in the middle of the night when staying in that room. The paranormal activity for that room was at such a high that it is said that that was why the room was bricked off. The hotel itself, however, has not commented on what has occurred in that room or if the room even exists. However, they urge guests even to this day to leave the space alone. Like, so the wall. Like, if people try to knock on the wall and stuff and a hotel guest sees you, they'll come give you shit. Mm. But they say that they won't even say the crime happened there. They
won't say the room exists.
Won't say the – well, okay. So there's several reports saying that the room isn't even not a room. That doesn't make sense. I need to word that better. So – just let me get into it. I'm pulling a U. I have that later. I just don't want to spoil anything.
Okay. I won't say
anything. But right now it's a bricked wall.
Yes.
Several investigators have gone there and knocked, and you can definitely tell that that's not regular wall. Like when you knock, it sounds different than knocking on regular wall. And that's why they think that, you know, the hotel is lying and that it is a room and that the story actually did happen there. And
yeah. But I guess it could sound different because maybe the way that they built it is such an older building.
Well, there is news articles of this crime. However, it's been stripped from them now where it occurred conveniently. Mm. But I don't know if that's at the hotel's request or
the hotel's legal team was like, you better remove that.
Like
right
it's
now.
It's very like weird cover up y.
Yeah, conspiracy almost.
Yeah. So there's been several reports of guests seeing a young girl in the hall near where the door would be looking lost, but she disappears when spoken to or approached.
Okay.
Some people believe that that's that little girl.
Yes.
So the main thing about the hotel that I didn't mention that I said I would get to later is some people believe that that room is actually just a extension of the bigger room. So, like, there was an article called The Debunking of Room 873, and they are saying that 875 is larger than a lot of the other hotel rooms on that floor.
Yeah.
because 875 just consumed 873 and that it wasn't a cover up, that the hotel just expanded that room to make it a suite.
And then they bricked off the door because they used the door.
Yeah, because they used the door as part of a wall because the room is bigger.
Yes.
Other people don't believe that the room is big enough to have consumed the whole room and that that was part of the cover up because there was so much negativity surrounding this room that they just made it look like, hey, no, that never happened.
Yeah.
And where do you see proof of that? There's nothing in the newspapers anymore. We just made a room bigger. So, like, it's super controversial in that this crime happened.
Yes.
It was said to have happened at the hotel.
Yes.
People see ghosts. Even to this day, people hear, like, weird sounds coming from where that room would be. But that room doesn't exist because it's just room 875 extended. Like, it's so cloaked.
Yes.
Like, honestly, it's weird.
It seems like all the stories have been meshed together or have somehow been fabricated in some way.
Yeah. I couldn't find any, like, yes or no's. Yeah. It was either, like, there was articles where they 100% believed in 873. They had gone to the hotel, done their research. Like, there was this one article that was some paranormal investigators, and they had gone there, and they had knocked on walls, and they had done measurements of the room and how much bigger 873 was to the rooms around it to see if it was big enough to be a whole entire other room. And they said, no, it wasn't. Like, it's not just like, but then when you're expanding a room, you're not going to make it two rooms big. You would just use some of it. So it's just, there's so much.
Yeah.
But a lot of people firmly believe that the hotel did this as part of the cover up when it was stricken from the newspapers. But the hotel now will say that crime didn't even happen there.
Yeah. It's almost like a game of telephone where it's been twisted so much.
Who knows what happened? But guests will still report weird sounds coming from that vicinity. And there's still tons of sightings of the little girl.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Of a little girl.
Yeah, I can't really say it's the little girl because who the fuck knows? It could be a totally different little ghost. So.
A little girl ghost. She's like, I'm not that little girl. I'm my own.
My own little girl.
Yeah.
So I'm going to stop touching on that, I guess, because we could go on forever about if it's true or not. But that's it for the main stories that are associated with the hotel. There was, like, my God, I found probably 1,000 or more personal submissions in regards to this hotel on various different websites.
Wow, that's really cool.
And I was going to try to read as many of them as I could today.
Yeah.
And then I got so overwhelmed, honestly. There's just so many, and some of them are, like, real stupid. I'm so sorry if you're a person who submitted. Yours was probably cool. I'm not saying that, but there was some that were, like, the window had weird light to it at certain times that I didn't feel was associated with the light outside. So I think that was a ghost changing the light to the window. Like, some of them were so silly.
Yeah.
Some of them were silly, but I wrote down a couple.
Yeah. Some of them were just like, we're just here for the clout. I just want to say that I have a ghost story from Banff.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Like, it was so hard. And I did leave some out that I actually thought were cool, but I also thought they were cool, but sounded like someone was just pulling shit out their ass.
Yeah.
Like, they were just like, I want to be a part of this. So I'm going to make up a story that's so ridiculous. So I, like, weeded through for, I'm going to say probably an hour, these stories and picked out ones that maybe weren't the scariest, but I thought sounded the most credible.
Yeah.
Legitimate. Yeah. Yeah. So I have a couple of them. If anybody wants to hear more or wants me to share some links, email me, talesfromthemidnightsociety@gmail.com. I will definitely share more, or just, like, DM us on Instagram.
Yep.
And I will even do a podcast episode where I just read these stories. I'm down for that. Like, it won't be a regular release episode. Like, we'll release a little mini episode where I read these stories. I'm down.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it today. So.
Yeah. This episode can only be so long and Ashley can only do so much.
Yeah. But here's a couple. So in the summer of 1979 to 1980, over those two summers, a man who worked there reporting hearing steps beside him in the employee tunnel every time he was in the employee tunnel, but no one would ever be behind him.
Excuse me, tunnel?
Yeah. So I guess he was very elaborate. He gave the times he worked there, and this is kind of why I used his story. It's not, that's it. That's all it is steps. But I dug it. Like, it's creepy.
Yeah.
So I guess under the main hotel, there's employee tunnels. So, like, the staff can get from one end of the hotel to the other without disturbing the guests.
That would make sense.
Yeah. So, like, if he said that they use it a lot for weddings,
yeah,
or like events where they have to move a bunch of stuff, but they don't want to move it through the event.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. So there's tons of employee tunnels under the entire hotel just for staff members to move about. It's like Disney.
Yeah, I know Disney has tunnels, but that creeps me out.
Disney has like an entire tunnel system underneath for the exact same reason, for staff to move about without disturbing the guests. So this hotel's kind of have the same thing.
Yeah.
But every time he was in the tunnel system by himself, he would hear footsteps, but no one else would be there.
Yeah.
And he said he talked to some other maids and stuff around who'd had the same encounters. If they were alone in the employee tunnels, they would hear steps with them. And some people say like, oh, it's just the echoing of your, like there was comments on his post and yeah, people were like, oh, it was just the echoing of your own steps. But like, he didn't believe that was the case. And actually several of the maids working there at the time told him that they traveled down there in packs. Like if they have to go through the employee tunnels, they refuse to go by themselves.
Yeah. I don't blame them. Like that is super creepy. And I'm sure the tunnels aren't, you know,
like they're well lit. They're not scary. Like when I say the word tunnel lit sounds creepy, but like they're just little hallways.
Yes. But I feel like everybody somehow attributes tunnels to something a little spooky.
Yeah.
And sure, a little creepy. So maybe he didn't, but I do. So you I'm do. Sure even women would be like, hey, I'm not going down there by myself. Cause even if there's nothing, I don't want to risk it.
Yeah, for sure. In February 2017, a woman named Carol stayed in room 321 and woke up to feeling hands on her feet, though she was in the room alone.
Oh, God.
Yeah. A couple days after she posted this, she posted another question asking if anyone else had had ghost play with her feet, their feet.
That's play?
That's how she worded it.
Oh, like, play?
The reason I posted this one is because several people commented saying that they had woken up while staying in that hotel with feeling like something besides the blanket was touching their, either from the knee down, like somewhere, like ankles,
yeah,
calves. Like there was a couple people who commented and I was like, I kind of dig that because people are like, yes.
And there's something that happens.
Yeah. I mean, one person even commented saying I wouldn't necessarily say play, but I felt pressure on my left calf and actually had bruising.
Oh God.
Which I dug. Because, I mean, I don't, like, I'm sad that this person had bruising, but it had, like, a lot of people being like, yes, oh my God, I never knew that this was a thing. Like, I didn't come forward, but thank you.
Yeah. Play. I like the word play.
Yeah. She literally was like, did anyone else have a ghost play with their feet? And I was like,
okay.
Okay. Another woman who stayed in 2017 reported being kept awake for the entire two nights she stayed there.
Oh God.
To sounds of someone shaking her doorknob. But like continuously and for the whole night. So the first night it happened, she thought maybe someone in the hall was like drunk or not paying attention or was late and exhausted and was just trying to get into her room. But the sound continued on and off throughout the entire night. When she asked the hotel manager, like if someone could have been doing that, there was only one other person even on that floor.
Oh gosh.
Because it was like a week. It was like a Tuesday, Wednesday. She was up there for like a business conference. So like there wasn't a ton of people booked in that area of the hotel she was in. And then when it happened the second night too, she's like, there's no way that two nights in a row, all night, someone kept trying her doorknob.
Yeah.
So
wait, was it that someone kept trying and then they backed away and then they came back and yes, they backed away?
Yeah. Like it was like, I don't want to say every hour, but like it was sporadically throughout the entire night though.
Yeah. See, because the only thing I could think of is like, maybe there was an earthquake. I don't know.
Okay. Now you're reaching.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of an explanation because even though I'm someone who believes in ghosts, I still like to try and debunk things, but that's pretty, like, you know when someone's trying to rattle your doorknob.
Yeah, like, and she said even the first night, because she didn't believe in ghosts, like, she didn't go there for ghosts. She didn't even know there was ghost sightings until this happened to her. Then she looked into it and was like, oh my God, this hotel is ghosty.
Yeah.
Like, it has tons of stuff.
It is extreme ghost.
It is ghost, yeah, all the ghosts. So she said, like, there, she tried originally when she was sleeping to attribute it to other things.
Yes.
She, like, walked around the room, tried to figure out where the sound was coming from, realized it was her doorknob. Like, she didn't jump to that conclusion.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I liked this one, because it's not, like, someone who's, like, there for paranormal, making paranormal up. Like, this yeah, is a woman who only discovered the website, only posted her story because she was, like, what the heck?
Yeah.
In 2016, a woman named Sonia reported waking up in the middle of the night paralyzed. When she tried to move, she felt like she lost consciousness and had visions or dreams of the hotel bride before finally regaining consciousness and being able to move again.
Oh, God.
So I wasn't going to write this one down because it kind of sounded like reaching. But, like, I don't know. I got vibes from it like that maybe it wasn't, because just the way she worded it, and she's like, I was genuinely so scared. Like, I called my doctor thinking maybe I was having problems. Like, I talked to hotel staff. That's when I found out the bride was like a ghost there. Like, she.
Oh, she didn't even know about the bride.
No. And like, she could be making that up to tell a good story. She could. But like, there was just so many details making it sound like this. Like, so nice. Not so nice.
Like,
but
if someone's there looking for paranormal stuff, they're not there to be like, oh, I'm going to call my doctor after.
Yeah. Sure, I'm and okay. She said that. She said, like, she called her doctor because she didn't know if, like, something was wrong, because she, like, literally was paralyzed.
Yeah.
And she talked to, like, hotel staff, and then, like, that's when she found out about, like, the story of the bride, and she then was like, that's probably who the visions were of. Yeah. She didn't even know that that's who the visions were of until.
She just kept having visions about a bride.
In like, while she was paralyzed. So the last one that I wrote down was a woman who stayed at the hotel in 2014, said her and her fiance were descending the stairs when she lost her footing. But before she could start falling, she felt a force steady her and push her back upright. And like, her fiance watched this happen, and it was literally like she was tilting forward and then like got some kind of weird strength in her one leg that was still on the stairs and pulled herself back up. But, like, she felt someone push her back up.
Like the Matrix.
Yeah. Like, literally like the Matrix. And he was not near her. Like, he tried to reach for her, didn't make it. But it's okay because somebody else did.
Someone pushed her. Or something pushed her.
Back up, though. Like, helped her.
Oh, God.
AKA the bride who didn't want another engaged couple.
Oh, because they were engaged.
Yeah, it was her and her fiancé descending the stairs.
She's like, this happened to me. I'm not going to let it happen to you.
Yeah.
Or I wonder if, like, one of the bad ghosts pushed her.
Oh, no. She openly admitted to, like, losing her footing. Okay. Like, she, yeah, there was nothing ominous about that. She lost her footing because she was, like, being careless and they were joking around. Mm. And then she literally, like, she was going down. Like, there was no steadying her. And then she, like you said, Matrix style, like, just straightened back up.
Lifted.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it for my personal reports. Like I said, a lot of them felt like they were reachy and I didn't want to go on forever. But just a quick synopsis of a lot of the other reports that I read. Several of them included lights turning on and off on their own.
Mm-hmm.
People would literally like flick the light switch on and it would immediately turn off. And then they would flick it, like, tons of reports of that. Tons and tons and tons, which is also kind of why I didn't list them, because it's easier just to tell you that there's lots of them.
Yes.
Than to read every single one.
Yeah.
There's also like hundreds of sightings of Sam and the bride. There's also tons of reports of people mentioning feeling not alone.
Mm-hmm. Like being watched.
Yeah. Like feeling like somebody else is in the room with them if they stay there by themselves. And there was tons of families where like one, like their younger kids would complain in the morning of feeling like someone else was in the hotel room with them awake. But the kid would be the only one awake, like the parents would be sleeping.
Yeah. Oh, I don't like that. That's creepy.
Yeah. Like there were several stories. I think I found at least five where it was parents and their child told them on the car ride home, like they felt like someone else was awake in the room with them and they couldn't, that's why they didn't sleep all night.
Oh gosh.
A lot of people complained of strange sounds waking them up in the night. There's a lot of stories of that as well.
Yeah.
So.
I feel like that could be more easily debunked. Like, I know everybody says, like, oh, it's the piping.
But I know if you know that the hotel's haunted, you're going to hear stuff.
Yes, for sure.
Like, even if there's not stuff to be heard, you're hearing stuff. Like, your
mindset is already in the place where you're like, oh, my God, something's going to happen.
Yeah. And so that's pretty much it for my story. I will say that on this website where there was a lot of the people submissions, there was also some picture submissions. A lot of them looked fake. To be honest, not fake. They looked like camera issues or lighting issue. No, not Photoshop fake. Oh. Like just, you know, when like there's a lighting issue in the photo, people are like, oh, it's an orb. Like it was like things like that for
like
the most
light
part.
Light leaking and stuff like that.
Yeah. Like light leaking and distortion. And yeah, there was one of that old staff member submitted and he was taking a picture of their ballroom being set up for an event. And, like, there's legitimately, like, some ominous figure in the corner of the ballroom.
Oh, God.
Like, that one is one of the most famous pictures. There's also a picture, like I said earlier, of the two ghost hunters. I didn't write down their names. I should have. I don't know. It's a couple. They do paranormal hunting. They have several photos that look like a legitimate man in uniform. And they have photos of that looks like a woman in dress. Like, I guess the hotel even has some of their photos on display there now because, like, they are the most believable, not photoshopped, like, straight off a print.
Like, looks like what other people have described.
Also, just for fun, there was lots of paranormal investigators' websites telling their story of going here. I think I read 5, literally just for fun. And most of them reported minimal things. A couple of them reported getting some weird EVPs. One of them reported she experienced the elevator phenomenon for herself. But then she speculated that, you know, the hotel is milking the ghosts a little bit now. Like, they could be doing that.
You think they would be the one messing with the elevators, though?
She just speculated it, right? Because that's her job. Like, she's an investigator, but, like, also she doesn't want to, like, feed into it. She kind of does the debunking herself a little bit. Because if she's going to report something, she wants it to be
legitimate.
Yeah. She did say that she talked to several staff members, and almost all of them believe the hotel is haunted.
Yeah.
But then again, she says that could just be their shtick.
Yeah, and it could be a mob mentality where, like, you know when you're working there that there's quote-unquote ghost stories and ghost haunting here. And if you're someone who's a believer, you're going to be like, oh my God, of course there is. And then you pass that mentality along to somebody else.
Yeah. I liked hers the best, I think, because she approached it from both sides, like the debunking and the believing.
Yeah.
She said she talked in extents to a younger bellman. He was in his like early 20s and doesn't believe in ghosts at all. And he says that all of his coworkers try to hype up the ghost thing to him a lot. Or he's even had a couple of like the female staff approach him scared because they like legitimately got like freaked out by something.
Yeah.
And every single time he doesn't believe, but he says he has witnessed some things that are like not explainable and weird, like with lighting or with the elevators. And he says he does understand that like they're strange, but like it's just an old hotel and that's what he attributes everything to.
Yeah.
So, but he says all, like 90% of his staff members do believe and are like into it.
Yeah.
So that is my hotel.
Your hotel? You own the hotel?
I own the hotel. I would love to go there. I really would. But to be honest, like I don't know how much we would see because like I said, I read 5 different reports and most of them, the most they had was like some EVPs. No one got sightings.
Yeah. I feel like things happen to people that aren't expecting it more than when people go there to be like, hey, I'm an investigator. Show yourself to me.
For sure. No. And that's exactly what I got too, because a lot of the encounters and stuff that were in my story and like that I was reading online were people who didn't even know.
Yeah. It's interesting. Like when you look into the theory of why people believe in ghosts, or whether ghosts are real, it seems like that is consistent across the board. And I would like to know people's ideas of why that happens, why ghosts show themselves to people who don't believe or aren't expecting it versus people who are there
looking for them.
Yeah, because you would think if you're a ghost and you want people to know you're there and there's a paranormal investigator,
being you would, like, hello, talk to me, you would talk to them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Instead of the person that's like trying to sleep and you're like, oh my God, your pillow needs to be shaken so bad right now.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I don't know. It was like the weirdest story because I looked into it specifically because I was like, there's so much ghost stuff happening here. But then none of it was, this is horrible. I'm not a masochist, but I wanted it to be more violent.
Yeah. Or like the ghost to be angry, crueler.
Yeah. To do more nasty things to people.
Yeah.
Like I wanted more bad things to happen, but like the bride is nice. She helped that lady.
Yeah.
Sam is like unlocking people's doors. Like he's helping people left and right.
Ghost of the year.
Yeah.
Sam is literally ghost of the year.
Well, even like the bartender's like, oh, don't drink too much. Go to bed now. You hear me?
Yeah. I know, like, your intentions are to drink for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
Save yourself and go to bed.
Yeah. Like even the ominous bagpiper, he's not hurting anybody.
No, he's just
even
there.
Like the room, your pillow is being shaken. Like it's nothing. Nothing was.
Yeah.
It's all just spooky, but none of it is
scary.
Scary.
Yeah. Like there's nobody being scratched. There's nothing being thrown at people. Like no poltergeist activity.
I think the creepiest thing would be like the children reporting feeling like someone was hanging out in the room with them while their parents were asleep. But again, that's just someone hanging out with a kid who can't sleep. Like it's not
violent.
It's not violent. And I don't obviously want to read about violence per se or like want people to be harmed. But when I want a ghost story, like, I want it to be...
Well, that's the expectation, right?
To be aggressive.
An aggressive ghost story.
Ashley's goal for her next ghost story is some, like, demons.
Yeah. Well, that's what keeps people up at night, right? Like, when people think about a scary podcast, they think about paranormal stories where people are getting hurt or there might be a scary ghost. Like, you think about... like the Conjuring movie.
I was just going to say the Conjuring.
Where there's all these like creepy ghosts. And I enjoy that this story didn't have that.
But at the same time, you yearn for it after because it didn't have that. Like it was too Casper.
Yeah. Casper, literally, it shouldn't be Casper the Friendly Ghost. It should be Sam the Friendly Ghost.
Yeah, it's too Casper, not enough Conjuring.
That is so true.
Yeah. Well, that's it. That's all I got. Is that all you got?
That's all I got.
The cats are getting restless, so I think that means that it's good night.
It's time for us to leave. Follow us on Instagram.
Email us. Do it all.
TalesFromTheMidnightSociety@gmail.com.
Share us with your friends. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you don't like.
Yeah, we were actually talking about this yesterday. So if you have something to say, please do not be afraid to let us know because we will accept any kind of comment, criticism. If you just want to tell us that you had a good day, you want to tell us your cat's name is Fred, we're down for that.
Yeah.
Like, we want to engage.
We were talking about it yesterday because we've been watching our listener volume increase. Like, we're getting more and more listeners. And we were talking about, like, how we can engage the listeners now that they're increasing. So just talk to us. And, like, if you have any Canadian stories that you think we might not have thought of, like, tell us that. We want more engagement before we do something like a listener's episode or like your personal stories because we obviously need them to flood in. But if you start sending us things like personal stories now, we can accumulate enough to do a listener's episode, to do an episode that is your guys' stories. All we're trying to say is we love that you guys are listening. We love that you guys are involved. Just talk to us.
Yes.
We're not, lonely.
We don't bite. We're not lonely. Vampires.
Yeah.
We're lonely.
We're not lonely.
We actually are.
I mean, Demetria might be.
I'm going to go cry after this.
On that note, goodbye.
Goodbye.